Today, we are diving deep into, well, what can feel like a really confusing world of dietary choices. If you've ever tried to pick a path to better health, you know it can feel like you're just lost in a huge library of advice.
It's so true. It's almost like swiping on dating apps. It's exciting, a bit confusing, and maybe a little overwhelming.
Exactly. And every single plan promises these huge transformational results. Welcome to the Pitcott Podcast. I'm Annabelle Pitcott.
And I'm Bill Pitcott. So today, we're focusing our deep dive on two, you could say, low-carb heavyweights, ones that really shape the entire nutrition landscape, the Atkins diet and the South Beach diet.
And our mission here is to get beneath that very broad low-carb label. We want to pull out the crucial differences, you know, the mechanics, the philosophy, the actual health variations that might help you figure out which path is right for you.
Right. And it's important to say that we're synthesizing all this knowledge directly from the best-selling Pitcott ebooks,
which break down these methodologies in incredible detail.
So we're going to break down the history, the core mechanics, and the real health implications, bite by bite. And because a comparison like this really requires a deep dive into the source material, we want to encourage you to visit www.pitscott.com/books.
Yeah, you can download those resources there and get immediate, really profound knowledge of the full methodologies.
Okay, so let's set the stage. Let's start with the history.
Right. While both diets are built on restricting carbohydrates, they were actually born from very different priorities.
We have to start with the original disruptor, Atkins. I mean, picture the 1970s. Cardiologist Dr. Robert Atkins, he releases his book, and it just flips conventional wisdom completely on its head.
Totally. It was an era where fat was seen as the ultimate dietary villain.
And his plan was revolutionary. He said, dramatically cut your carbs, increase your fats and proteins, and you'll force the body into a state of ketosis.
And that term ketosis, it's really the key here.
The core concept.
It is. It means you're training your body to switch from using glucose, you know, sugar that you get mostly from carbohydrates as its main fuel source, to burning fat for energy instead.
A huge metabolic shift.
A profound metabolic shift. And the success of the shift, it really relies on counting something called net carbs.
Which is just your total carbohydrates minus the fiber content.
Right? That's exactly. And that intense focus on hitting a super low net carb count, that's really the engine of the entire Atkins plan.
Okay, now let's fast forward a bit. Early 2000s.
Right. So down in Florida, another cardiologist, Dr. Arthur Akidston, he introduces the South Beach diet.
And it's still about restricting carbs, but it offered a much more nuanced approach, I'd say.
It's cooler about it. Instead of that initial, you know, blanket elimination that Atkins demanded, South Beach really zeroed in on the quality of the food. It's less about forcing a metabolic state and more about optimizing your ingredients.
So it's a different philosophy.
A completely different mandate. South Beach was clear. Swap out those fast-digesting processed carbs for complex, slow-digesting whole grains. Choose lean proteins. And critically, prioritize those heart-friendly, unsaturated fats.
So it's not trying to achieve ketosis. It's more about achieving what? Stable blood sugar.
Stable blood sugar and better cardiovascular markers. That's the goal.
Okay, so if we just synthesize this first part, we have Atkins, which is focused on the quantity of carbs to hit a specific metabolic state.
Versus South Beach, which is focused on the quality of your carbs and fats to optimize your nutrition and, you know, your heart health.
But what's interesting is they both have this very structured approach.
They do. Despite those big philosophical differences, both plans kick off with a tough, pretty restrictive initial phase.
Why do that?
It's designed to crush that immediate sugar dependency and your cravings. That initial rigor, it's actually a vital psychological tool. It provides rapid, really motivating results that then help transition you into a more sustainable long-term lifestyle.
And it's in that structure that the actual experience of following each diet just dramatically diverges. Atkins is a highly quantitative system, four phases, all built around figuring out your personal carb limit.
Starting with the famous, or maybe for some people, the infamous phase one.
The induction phase. This is the hardest part. You are limiting yourself to a maximum of 20 grams of net carbs per day.
Which is not a lot.
It's tiny. It's a very strict period, usually about 2 weeks, designed to maximize that initial weight loss and trigger ketosis immediately. The early results are often really dramatic.
And a lot of that is actually water weight that you're shedding as you deplete your glycogen stores.
Right. And after that, Atkins becomes this very methodical, almost like a controlled experiment on yourself.
It really does. Phase two, which they call ongoing weight loss, you start to gradually reintroduce carbs. Usually you're adding about 5 grams per week until you're within, say, 10 pounds of your goal.
Then you hit phase three, pre-maintenance. That allows for 10 more grams per week. You're basically just testing your body's limits, seeing how many carbs you can eat without gaining weight back.
And finally, you get to phase four, lifetime maintenance. That's where you find. And then you just live within your own personalized carb limit, theoretically, forever. It is all driven by that one number.
The South Beach structure, on the other hand, it feels simpler.
Yeah.
It's less obsessed with the metrics.
It is. It's based on three phases that are more about reintroduction and learning.
So phase one of South Beach is like a cleanse. It's 2 weeks where you eliminate most sugars and refined starches to stabilize your blood sugar and get rid of cravings.
It's still restrictive for sure, but the focus is always on lean protein and low glycemic vegetables.
Then you get to the learning period, phase two.
And this is where you gradually bring back the good carbs things like brown rice, whole grain bread, some fruits. This phase is meant to last until you hit your goal weight, and it's really teaching you how to tell the difference between beneficial carbs and, you know, the detrimental ones.
And phase three is just called the forever phase.
Right. It's simply a commitment to that balanced meal structure that you built in phase two. It's all about integration, not constantly counting tiny increments of carbs.
So the critical distinction here is how each one uses that structure.
Yeah. Atkins uses a very rigid structure to hit a metabolic target ketosis, and then it slowly backs you away from that cliff. South Beach uses a temporary restriction to sort of cleanse your palate, and then it helps you build a sustainable life based on the quality of your food choices.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. We need to look closer at the health profiles and the pace of the results.
This is the sprint versus the marathon.
So Atkins is the sprint.
Without a doubt. It's aggressive. That initial carb restriction leads to really rapid fat loss, but that first phase, it can hit you like a cold shower in your stomach. It can be a big shock to the system.
And the food you're eating is different. The original Atkins plan was, let's say, more permissive about fat intake, even saturated fats.
The modern versions are definitely more cautious about that, but the freedom to eat higher levels of fat is still pretty central to the plan, just to hit your calorie targets.
So what does that do to your health?
Well, it's nuanced. Our PitCut sources show that Atkins can rapidly lower triglycerides and significantly boost HDL, which we call the good cholesterol.
That sounds great.
And it is. That's very positive.
But hold on. If heart health is a goal, why would it be okay with saturated fats? Doesn't that risk raising your bad cholesterol?
That is the big question. The challenge is LDL, the bad cholesterol. If someone on Atkins decides to just load up on processed meats and high-fat dairy, their LDL can absolutely rise significantly.
So the initial weight loss could be masking an underlying risk.
It could if you're not consciously choosing heart-healthy fats, even without the carbs. Atkins really prioritizes that metabolic shift first, and it requires you to be careful with your fat selection later.
South Beach then is, yeah, it's just different from day one. It's chiller.
It is. It demands lean proteins. It's packed with low glycemic, non-starchy vegetables. And crucially, it actively pushes healthy, unsaturated fats, olive oil, avocados, nuts, fish, right from the very beginning.
Which makes it inherently heart smart.
Exactly. The diet often leads to steady, reliable weight loss, and it's excellent at keeping blood sugar stable. Because of that consistent focus on quality fats, the cardiovascular impact is generally very positive. You avoid that risk of LDL spikes that you can sometimes see with high saturated fat choices on Atkins.
So to bring back the analogy, Atkins is the sprint. Fast, dramatic results at the start, but you need high discipline with your fat choices to protect your heart health.
And South Beach is the marathon. It's slower, steadier, and it's focused on sustainable, heart-friendly fuel sources for the entire journey. You just have to choose the pace that fits your body and your personality.
Now, before we get into the long-term feasibility of these two, which is a huge question, I just want to quickly remind everyone that this deep dive is powered entirely by the incredible in-depth analysis found in the PitCut resources.
We really believe that being well-informed requires this kind of detailed analysis.
So if you are enjoying this synthesis of knowledge, just take a moment and visit www.pitcot.com to explore our full range of resources and dive even deeper into all the PitCut topics.
Okay, so let's get to the ultimate challenge, adherence. which diet is actually easier to stick with for the long haul, you know, once that initial rush of weight loss starts to fade.
This is where the rubber meets the road. I mean, Atkins gives you huge motivation from those rapid phase one results. Seeing the scale move that fast is powerful.
It is. What?
But the long-term commitment to keeping a really strict carb ceiling, cutting out things like bread, pasta, even some beans,
yeah,
that can be so hard socially.
That constant restriction, it's just psychologically taxing. It can lead to some serious food FOMO, especially, you know, around holidays or when you're out with friends.
That long-term commitment to such low carb counts is where a lot of people just stall out or they revert.
And that's where South Beach has an advantage, because it intentionally reintroduces those good carbohydrates in phase two. It gives you so much more flexibility and variety.
Right, because South Beach lets you eat a healthy portion of whole grains and fruit. It's just, it's easier to live with long term. You're learning how to eat socially, how to eat sustainably, instead of just always operating below some strict number.
We also have to be candid about the side effects. They're very different for each diet.
Yeah, for Atkins, that shift into ketosis can bring on what everyone calls the keto flu,
which is often caused by an electrolyte imbalance and dehydration as your body sheds all that water weight. People report bad breath, headaches, muscle cramps, and these big energy dips during the first few weeks.
It sounds rough.
It is rough, but it does typically resolve once your body fully adapts to burning fat.
In South Beach.
The side effects there are much milder. They're tied more to detoxing from processed sugar and increasing your fiber intake. You'll definitely have some sugar cravings at first and maybe some minor bloating as your system gets used to all the vegetables and whole foods.
So this really helps us define who the ideal candidate for each plan is. If you're someone who needs fast, decisive weight loss, and you have the discipline to push through the keto flu and do the tracking,
and figure out your personal carb ceiling, then Atkins might be the sprint you're looking for.
But if you prioritize flexibility, and you want a diet that's built around positive heart outcomes and sustainable, healthy food quality that you can actually live with,
nights out and all.
Nights out and all, then South Beach is that gentler, long-term marathon.
Right. And regardless of which path you're leaning toward, the PicHot resources offer a really clear roadmap for success. We've actually distilled 5 core tips that are vital for either path.
Okay, let's hear them.
Number 1 is simple. Chat with your doctor. This is just non-negotiable, especially if you have existing health conditions like diabetes or heart issues. Changing your fat and carb ratios can really affect your blood sugar and any medications you're on.
Absolutely essential advice. What's number 2?
Track your food intake rigorously just for the first few weeks. Both diets are structured, and you need that data, even for a short time, to see where hidden carbs or maybe some unhealthy fats might be sneaking in.
Okay. Number 3.
Prioritize hydration and electrolytes. So important on any low-carb diet, but especially on Atkins. That initial water loss has to be replenished constantly to fight off those keto flu symptoms.
Number 4.
Eat plenty of non-starchy vegetables. This is the shared wisdom across both plans. They give you essential fiber, vitamins, minerals, all without overloading your carb count. And they're crucial for digestive health.
And the last one, number 5.
Be prepared to personalize your diet. You have to reassess. These plans aren't static. If you hit a plateau, you might need to adjust your carb threshold up or down, or change your fat choices based on your body's own unique signals and maybe even your lab results.
So here's our synthesis then. Both Atkins and South Beach are effective. They're established paths to better health and weight loss, and they're backed by decades of data.
But their success really hinges on you choosing the right methodology. The sprint or the marathon, quantity or quality, the one that genuinely aligns with your life.
The best diet, in the end, is the one you can live with and feel good about.
Absolutely. It's about matching the rhythm of the diet to the rhythm of your life.
So are you team rapid drop or slow and steady? Maybe you want to try one and report back. That's definitely something to mull over as you plan your next steps toward your health goals.
Thank you for being there with us.
And if you haven't already, please subscribe to our channel and make sure to activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Also, if you love our show and you found this deep dive helpful, please press that like button. It honestly helps in the recommendation algorithm so that other people can access this knowledge too.
And remember, all of this insight comes directly from the bestseller ebooks on our ebook store. You can visit www.pitcott.com/books to download the original resources that fueled this whole discussion.
And please explore all our offerings at www.pitcott.com.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.